You're listening to the XJ Music Podcast, episode 1.1 for nerds. I'll talk with XJ artist Voodoo Lion about his upcoming channel after my deep dive with the music team on challenges of composing with limited senses, innovative tech, and preserving humanity in algorithmic media. Welcome to XJ Music. We got Dave Cole here.
Hey.
Mark Stewart.
Hey.
Ian Hersey.
Hey.
And Jamal Whitaker.
What's going on?
Let's talk XJ Music Theory. As far as that road stretches on into the future, it's incredible how much we've accomplished, because we had big ideas and we had big plans, but we had to start somewhere. And I started with just the sequencing of audio and adding it into a final mix, having that work continuously, having it fabricated in the cloud, and having a collaborative interface where we can compose music together and listen to the stream change in real time.
For a while, the drums themselves were following the chord changes that I wrote.
Yeah. That was a special zone. The pitch shifted drums edition.
Yes. Yes.
It was based on my excitement about the technology. And I thought, oh, it's unlike any house beat you've ever heard before, because it's actually changing with the chords. And like, even when I heard it, I thought like, oh, wow, it's like kind of sick. And Dave, when he heard it, he's like, look, the thing about drums is that they don't do that for a reason. These things already have time-honored traditions and roles for different reasons. Like, the drums are atonal. Even when they are slightly tonal, even though you might tune a drum kit in order to get certain effects, you're deliberately letting that sit in a specific place and be a foundation. Maybe you want to deliberately change it up on the bridge or something, but you don't just let that move around harmonically with the rest of the stuff. It actually provides a foundation so that you can hear the other harmonic motion.
I totally get what you're saying about whatever I said about, you know, these traditions and time-honored things. It would have been kind of interesting to hear those drums shifting with the harmony, but having that harmony actually present. You could play a drum like you would play a melody, like you could play a marimba, which is a, you know, a percussion instrument. Right? That is a melodic percussion instrument. But if its role functionally is to just establish like a groove, it's really hard to understand what those pitch shifted changes would be doing or how they would translate. But it would be really interesting to hear it with some keyboard instrument actually playing those chords and there maybe being a melody. It would be kind of wild, actually. That would be pretty interesting.
So it comes full circle that maybe in the future we actually will do some of that work.
Maybe there's like a dance between having some far-flung idea and then through that experimentation of trying to go as far as you can with that, reining it back in and making that idea sort of accessible or palatable or give it enough context for the effect of that idea to really take hold in the listener.
It's been this really long, interesting journey for me in terms of learning about music.
I have also learned about music from working on this. I play keyboard and I know what makes sense to me when I'm playing it, like what would be an appropriate bass note substitution for this group of notes that I'm playing up higher or whatever. But I had to actually kind of systematize it, like making these lists of notes for like the various types of instruments. There are all sorts of pretty fine properties of harmony that I had to find out that I knew or discover. There's like low interval limits. You don't want a certain chord tone that's like a color note, like not super foundational, to occur too low in the chord. I've definitely established values in an explicit way that I think before were just sort of autopilot. You know something without consciously knowing why it's right.
And that leads us all the way up to like 2 weeks ago when Ian hands me over this exhaustive spreadsheet of chord definitions.
What you're doing essentially is taking these years of experience looking at grids and looking at the placement of sound in grids, whether that be in, you know, Pro Tools, Ableton, Reason, whatever, and kind of doing an exercise in what it's like to make music as a deaf person. If you can imagine sitting down to do something like music production, you're just doing it with like the most important sense kind of missing. You get to hear it, you know, a minute later, and then you get to be like, oh shit, let me fucking, you know, pull that back up and obviously I did that wrong, you know, where you have those moments. It just relies so heavily on your experience to say, okay, well, I know what a pattern of a kick and snare should look like just visually.
Yeah.
It's not so much the lack of one sense, it's the reliance on like spatially, what do you see here? What plays in your mind?
You're kind of reading music.
Right.
Hmm.
I had spent some time taking piano lessons in like the fourth grade, and all that stuff just kind of went in one ear and out the other. I play by ear. Mm-hmm. For these guys, I'd imagine it's pretty easy to look at sheet music and just hear what's written down on the sheet.
Once that stepmatic thing happened, there were many more ways it could possibly go wrong. And a lot of iterations of like grid step size and phantom bugs of, you plot a note here on the grid and it pops up 3.5 beats later, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We hacked at it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And we have like a viable user interface now.
Being the tool that I designed in months prior, there was aspects of it that were like, oh, okay, cool, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there was so many just little things that would just various bugs that had to get ironed out and did over time. And of course, with that being like my main focus, every time one of those things got ironed out, it was just like, Oh man, this is amazing. Like, this is the greatest thing ever, you know.
It's been really surprising where the most effort has gone into to just pull this off. Building stuff is fun, but then what is also fun is not building stuff. Parallel to the music composition, there's been this journey of research and development of the entire paradigm of an algorithmic medium.
How would you like succinctly describe an algorithmic medium?
A medium is any means of recording and transmitting information, and music is information. What makes it an algorithmic medium is that instead of directly writing on the medium verbatim, you are providing instructions, and the medium, instead of just being static, is alive in some way.
The living aspect of the medium is not consciousness. I mean, just to be clear, like, it's just not, it's not an AI. It's not a conscious entity. It's more like the individual cells of your body following the instructions in your DNA. The broad mission of XJ Music is to cultivate artists working in algorithmic media and try to find this future in a way that is compelling for artists and audiences, focusing on making sure that the human aspect of this is not lost all the way through to you sitting there having this experience. You know, you still know that this is music made by people, and you know who made it, and you know what their intention was when they made it. And the platform and app that we've built is our particular approach to that.
Before XJ was fabricating notes, when it was just drums, there were much fewer things that could go wrong.
Mm.
It was a simpler interface. Basically, there was just like this pretty simple graphical thing by which I would input chord names at times only. So every once in a while, there would be some error, but by and large, it seemed to work correctly. I mean, it worked for our purposes, which at that time was not yet actually thinking about instruments or anything like that. In just a couple of months before we had note fabrication, we had to take it seriously. How do we finally get it making pitched sound? And so there needed to be like lanes for the different instruments and the viable notes. And we also needed to figure out how to write programs, detail programs, so riffs, melodies, and things like that. How do you represent them graphically? So just like sets of chord changes, there might be multiple sections of a song that are different looping sets of chord changes. And then also furnishing like what the acceptable range of notes for any given instrument at any given time are, as well as writing detail programs like melodic and rhythmic shapes to be followed by any of the instruments, which get kind of combined together with the voicing of any given time and turned into musical parts.
I would say that maybe a quarter of those sounds made it till today.
Hmm.
I mean, the next time that I did like a major batch of work on instrument sounds was to do the Chill House stream. I had already learned so much about what would fly and what wouldn't. That was like, you know, near 100%. Okay, that's cool. We had also like not established like whether there was going to be sort of an effects engine going on. And what we've settled on now is that like for the time being, at least effects, EQ, time-based effects, any of that stuff is printed into the waves that we're uploading for the multi-sampled instruments.
Right.
That still takes trial and error. Like I'll upload an instrument and be like, fuck, the filter needs to be down like a little bit. It's too bright. and then just have to go redo it and then re-upload all of them. So much more was in place whenever I did the Chill House sound set. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that it was going to be 120 beats per minute, just straight. So I could put rhythmic effects into audios at that point. I could make percussive loop audios. They were going to work no matter what.
And as I climbed each one of these technical hurdles, you know, on the one hand, building the finished product is the most expensive way to find out whether or not something is going to work. And on the other hand, this is one hell of a complex MVP. I wonder if we could actually have tested this out any simpler or faster. What have been some of the most challenging aspects of this process?
Excluding things that don't work together is like the trickiest part of all of this, I feel like, on my end. Yeah, I used memes to like categorize different song types by like how fast the harmonic motion is.
The word meme isn't just the latest viral TikTok. A meme is a unit of culture or a behavioral system passed from one individual to another. An XJ artist breathes life into each template with a unique set of memes.
Part of like teaching that algorithmic medium how to do things that make sense is just telling it, don't do this. There's a meme tag that I have for like, don't combine these two things.
If something has chord changes that are too fast, then that should exclude like certain types of bass lines that are written, things like that.
Yeah, that's bleaching ammonia.
That's bad. Don't do it.
Yeah. Or this type of thing should only come up in context of this one specific thing. There was a lot of random choice. There was like too much. It was extremely chaotic. Mm. I loved it, but it was not really viable music.
I remember.
There's that one vocal like ah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
As a sticky instrument. And I remember that came out like right when stickies were like brought online for the first time. And those programs were like way too busy and there were no sticky buns. So it was just continuously random note choices.
Yeah.
And as fun as that was, and as much as it technically worked, in that there weren't, you know, bad harmonic clashes, it really needed to get reined in.
In this process, we've learned to find a balance between randomness and patterns, logic and nonsense. One tool we developed to work in this space we call the sticky bun.
The term sticky bun is unique to XJ music.
XJ starts with some randomness and then bakes a dozen sticky buns with variations on the central riff.
And that's where the idea for sticky buns, where it like it needed to kind of copy a part from those, from one round of those random choices and build a loop.
The frameworks we're building out in the different channels are laying the groundwork for us to bring artists into a recording studio and add more performances into the channels.
In XJ, performance is a recording of a human artist's rendering of the programs in audio form. XJ will remix these recordings to seek many variations of the original version.
Like, say you have a trumpet player hanging out for 2 hours and just playing a lot over a couple of chord progressions. And someone can curate that, right, and cut it up into like little two-bar segments or whatever.
And those can be like freely combined to make a new melody whenever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave and I were talking about this a lot, and I think it's going to be cool when we can get some awesome keyboard player in there for an evening recording session and then just sort of have him blow over a lot of these tunes. And then it's just up to people snipping it up and like categorizing what stuff it could work over. Mm. And then basically making like some kind of sticky bun part out of that. If we're talking about house music and also lo-fi hip hop, that's pretty true to what it is. Mm. Listening to house mixes, there's like one weird vocal thing.
Right.
In house music, the melody is most often like some sort of vocal sample.
Mm-hmm.
The inflections of that are, you know, pretty crucial to why it's like evocative.
Two syllables in between like two syllable words so that what you actually hear is like verbally meaningless. So it's just an instrument, but it is, you know, harmonically and melodically like relevant and compelling.
If the melody is going to be generated like a la a sticky bun, it's going to be a one shot kind of note for note thing. And that's going to really limit our ability to inflect and make it natural.
Mm.
As far as lo-fi is concerned, we already have hook audio. You know, we can just take a performance and then just snip it up and make hooks out of it.
Mm.
Technically, there's nothing keeping us from, like, if we wanted to actually have him play like a 32 bar solo over a particular tune, we could just make that happen.
Yeah.
It could even be a live performance that mimics a 4-bar loop, but still within that live performance, you have that added layer of, you know, human variation and organic flow to it.
Yeah. I feel like we could have one or two of these sessions with some good players or even ourselves doing it and end up with a ton of new material.
Also, by that time, Ian had gotten started on the ambient music project, and he was using the instrument in some interesting new ways.
The idea with space was just like factor tempo out of the equation of making a stream. I think originally I'd put the tempo at like 15 BPM, so slow as to render tempo basically like a non-issue. That really opened it up. And then if I designed the main programs in the right way, the end of any main program could overlap with the beginning of any other one, and there wouldn't be dissonance if I just gamed it right. Getting like a little bit frustrated by how building a thing out of entirely like one-shot instruments could kind of make it feel a little like robotic or flat. If that's what you have to work with, then all your like variance and texture and sort of interest in sounds has to come within each audio file for each sound. And so from there, yeah, just made a bunch of sounds that kind of had movement within them, and then eventually had like rhythmic schemes within them, and then had like phasing going on between notes of the same sound. Each note has an individual audio that's playing like, say, an eighth note rhythm on that note, except they're all at different tempos. So when you combine two of them, they will naturally phase with one another. You know, one will be slightly faster, one will be slightly slower, and then you'll have this kind of never totally lining up kind of Reiki phase thing.
Slaps is more about looping audio. So what I've been doing is creating like environments that have like a few different possible chord change loops, where you have hooks and chords that can be basically used interchangeably. So it's sort of aleatory, but it's also less generative than the old detail programs method that we've had.
I've thought of a lot of ways over time that I could have done fake versions of this, but we wouldn't actually know if it was going to work or how it was going to work. And we would just be behind the ball if the idea caught on ahead of that. So instead, now we're poised to deliver this thing that we've been promising and talking about and working on. It's ready to go. It was a long road to arrive at a usable interface to compose music for XJ. The live music output is one of the most challenging things to represent in the user interface. If we build enough of a platform, there becomes like a new kind of live performer to use XJ to perform all the stuff that's been composed by other people. XJ runs continuously, making nonstop music, but under the hood, that music is divided into segments.
A segment is a portion of a program that can be loaded and executed independently of other pieces. XJ is a machine operating on a continuous series of segments of music. Each segment begins as a set of ideas, then fabricated and published as audio.
The foundation of the live music generation is the creation of one segment after another and the repetition and variation between segments. Dave put the idea in my head years back that musically, if you do anything and then repeat it, you've done a third higher thing. You've actually drawn the audience's attention to the repetition, put the ball in their court to interpret why you just repeated that thing you just did. Philosophically, that's underpinning a lot of what XJ is doing these days, where sometimes I'll hear it like it just randomly cut into a new segment of Chill House and it goes, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a bass line and then stop and then hit you with like this other thing that's some pads, but the bass stopped. You know, we're just going back and forth today. And like, I know the moment that I hear it, okay, that's actually some weird intersection of things that causing chunks of music to just be missing for like half the segment. But then the moment that second segment hits and it just does the exact same shit again,
then it's like music.
Yeah, it has an effect.
Yeah, repetition legitimizes. Yeah.
You can say that again.
Yeah, then it's music.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
You can say that again.
Yeah, then it's music.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
But whatever.
Having a sense of humor has been essential at every stage of this process. Like, I would have died otherwise.
I agree. Yeah, you heard that thing where it's like, okay, three of these bass notes are not there. The chord instrument just stops for like this weird set location of time every loop.
Yeah.
I always sort of interpreted it as like XJ just like not being able to compute all of those notes at once. So it would sort of like direct its attention to where it could. Mm. I still don't know what it is. We were like greatly expanding voicing stuff in a pretty short amount of time.
Right.
Despite it being an unintended thing and a thing that would eventually need to get worked out.
Right.
I'm fond of it when I heard it. It also almost felt like it was choosing to fabricate musical parts based on their interest. You would hear some of one instrument that was doing something, and then a chord would change and you would hear a different instrument.
Oh, wild.
And it almost sounded like it was choosing these things. Like, we still don't know what it was, right?
There is an uncanny sense that something is influencing it. And I think we have inadvertently built a mind through layers and layers of stochastic decision-making. Mm-hmm. But it's all based on curated cultural input from humans. I learned a ton from Douglas Hofstadter's theorems in Gödel, Escher, Bach, which is considered to be a foundational work in AI. But I go back to the old school media theory, like Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. We're a straightforward evolution of media in terms of being an instrument and using it in a live broadcast.
As I'm going through and creating this new genre that is solely me within XJ, I'm kind of cataloging the process and figuring out what would be interesting to not only other artists, but to a broader audience as well. So a lot of that is, you know, when I'm sitting there working, it could be 2 a.m, I'm just sitting there clicking, dragging sounds in from Splice, chopping them up in Pro Tools. And on one hand, it's, to me, that is mundane, but there's so many people that will tune in and watch somebody do that for hours on end on Twitch or YouTube, in a live stream, what have you.
Yeah.
And why not just throw that out there?
Yeah.
Put some beats on in the background and get people at least something interesting to listen to and get a taste of what I'm creating live right there in front of their eyes. But yeah, I think it could be pretty interesting.
If XJ could create an environment that felt welcoming and exciting to artists, here's a new playground to play in for artists and musicians, that is going to be appealing to artists, I think, if the user interface for XJ is intuitive enough or easy enough to use and the learning curve is not too steep and they can see some sort of demonstration of it where they can see the possibilities and implications of the medium. Because the process of making music has become such an interesting medium in and of itself, documenting the process of what you guys were talking about could be so interesting and I think actually really exciting and could be attractive to other musicians.
Yeah.
When you're building out a Voodoo Lion channel,
yeah,
that's already very personal. It's already music that you've thought of in terms of songs and brought some amount of finality to. You know, how does that translate in terms of your identity as Voodoo, as a producer, into XJ channels?
So one of the key things I've been looking to do with the Voodoo Lion channel is, one, you're starting with songs, and songs that some are released, some are unreleased. They're pretty much going to go on the same album, I'm imagining. But the way that I've been constructing it is by using XJ's meme system. With Trap, we've been going back over having memes be genres, and in some circumstances and channels beforehand, we've used different terms, meets, cities, colors, elements. And in this case, I want to go straight for songs. So the very first song that I've actually put into the Voodoo Lion channel is a song that I did called Hey Tony. And the way that I've started out is by defining the rhythmic pattern that Hey Tony uses, literally importing those drums, of course, and recreating that pattern within XJ and basically defining Hey Tony as a meme and letting it ideally go from there and be able to populate, drop in the same bass tones, the same other percussion, everything basically but the sample as an experiment for this, because you don't want to be obviously running around with copyrighted material in this. That has also presented a challenge too, because a lot of my own production is sample based. Mm. So it's kind of had me going outside of the box and really sifting through my work and picking out things that aren't sample based, and also tapping some of the other XJ music members on the shoulder and getting them to, hey, you want to collaborate and replay these samples, or just see where your mind goes. Mm. I'm imagining it as being like a stone. Okay, we're dropping the stone in this river. The ripples that come off of that are going to be where somebody like Mark or Ian would say, hey, I like these drums. I'm hearing them. I want to see what this sounds like with some organ over it. And I'm going to tag that as, hey, Tony, and have XJ be able to oscillate between, hey, we're going to take the original sample that Mark replayed, and we're going to add some organ that Ian played over it that matches. And just see where it goes. If I'm just scoping it out, it would have to be 12 songs and 12 main programs to really be able to get that sense of variety and, as a listener, keep you engaged.
Mm. So it starts off as a voodoo song, becomes a taxonomy meme, like a high-level meme.
Yeah, because if I think back to the early days of when Mark and I were going through Lo-Fi Beats, we were starting with the idea of a city. The different cities of Lo-Fi are Aberdeen, Boulder, Nagoya, and Luxor. And then that city could then be broken off. Aberdeen has somewhere around like 8 different programs that are associated with one meme. So I'm just kind of taking that and running with it, because it's like, hey, the most recent thing we were doing, the most recent way we were operating and operating well,
yeah,
and getting sounds into lo-fi. So keep that rolling.
What is the audience experience going to be listening to the Voodoo Channel?
It's going to be twofold. One, if you're familiar with my work, you're going to be able to hear bits and pieces of what you know and see it reimagined constantly. Every time you open the Voodoo Lion channel and XJ Music, you're going to hear something that you know with something that you never knew. And that's dope to me. Like, that's the whole idea behind collaborating with artists, is taking a project that you've put all that love into, all that work into, and seeing it reimagined through lenses that, you know, you never would have even thought it would be capable of sounding like. And so that brings me to two, in which you're not familiar with Voodoo Lion's music, which you should be. You're hearing this brand new blend of funky ass hip hop that is percussion based, and it oscillates between different genres of hip hop. We can dip into trap. We can dip into lo-fi. We can dip into boom bap. Boy, can we dip into boom bap. I've got some cracking ass. Listen, if I put this in XJ's hands, the heat that I've got, some of these bass lines, some of these kicks and snares, it's going to be harmful. So be ready.
If you're a musician out there hearing this and all this turns you on, get at us. Come on in. The water's fine.
And this isn't a swimming pool or a lake. This is an ocean of possibilities we're talking about. We're getting at something that artists couldn't even dream of 10, 15 years ago. And now it's at our fingertips.